this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Praise God. I'm excited for today. Hope you are. It took a lot of preparation for today because it's a topic we don't talk about much in church. I think it will make some people maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but it's okay because at the end of the day, what we need to do is we need to get down to the truth. The truth is all that matters. It's the truth that sets free. Amen? It's the truth that sets free. And today's topic is entitled, What Do You See? And as we progress into this sermon, we'll start to understand where I'm going with this. Now, did you know that people who counterfeit money but make fake rand notes, right? People who counterfeit money, they only look at the original. They study the original in detail. They never take a counterfeit and study a counterfeit. They look at the original bill and they counterfeit that money. And I don't know by experience. This is what I heard. All right? But they counterfeit that bill. Oh, they study that bill and then they make a copy of that, which is obviously false. It's not the real thing. But that's why they can get it to look so precisely as the original. Okay? Now, do you know that Satan works very much in the same way? Satan looks at the truth. He looks at the real deal. And then he fabricates a copy that looks like the truth, but is not. And sometimes it's difficult to see what is truth and what is not. What is the real note and what is the false note? What is from Satan, what is from God? Because Satan is a master copier. He can copy. That's why it's so important to be close to God. That's why it's so important to know the Word, to understand the Word, to have the Word in your heart. And there's various aspects of God's truths that Satan copies and that people follow blindly. And one of the truths that he copies is what we call things like meditation, inner vision, imagination. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Meditation, inner vision, imagination. Now, when we talk about meditation in Christian circles, people, or you talk about imagination in Christian circles, you will often find that Christians shy away from that. Because they either feel that, well, this is childish. Why do I want to talk about imagination? Or they feel like, well, man, Christians shouldn't talk about things like this. Your meditation, that's just odd, right? That's for the Buddhists, for the Hindus, for any other religion out there. But the Word of God is very clear. We need to meditate on the Word of God. Lorraine talked about it just now. Pretty lady that, huh? I was looking at her, I was thinking, yes, man. The one who won her heart. Lucky boy. Anyway, so, you know, we need to meditate on the Word of God as an instruction by God. God says that we need to go into the Word and we need to start to think about the Word. It is biblical to think about the Word, to let it sink into your imagination. What does Eastern meditation teaches you? It teaches you how to empty your mind. Biblical meditation teaches you how to fill your mind with the things of God. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. But when we hear the word meditate, and you want to chase. Don't chase. Stay. Stay. Because we'll honor God. You're going to start to see results. If you apply what you hear today, I'm telling you now, you're going to start to see results in your life like never before. This is one of the keys that God has shown me that is transforming my life continuously because of the power in this. Okay. Romans 1:21. I'm reading from the King James Version. Don't worry about the thou and the thys. You'll still follow. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Now that verse alone is a sermon on its own. I'm not going to focus only on that, but there's a few points that I want us just to note here. First of all, it says, because they glorified not God, nor were thankful, they became vain in their imaginations. The word vain there in Greek is metaiou, which means to be unproductive. Unproductive in your imagination. Metaiou. Now, everyone has got the imagination. Do you know that it is impossible to exist without the imagination? Every decision that you make is based on an inner vision. What you see on the inside, a picture that you have formed. And this imagination of ours can either work for us or against us. We choose. We choose what we do with this imagination. Does it work for us or against us? Now, what is very important to note is that, if we can just go one slide back to Romans 1:23 again, that, just one previous, that if, 121, if we're not thankful towards God, if we don't glorify God, the default is a vain imagination. An imagination, It's an imagination that is unproductive. In other words, we will start to get a negative imagination, and as we will see in a second, that works against us. It does not work for us. Now, you know, some people say, but, or may dispute whether they've got imagination. They may, I'm talking to scientists here, I'm talking to accountants, I'm talking to engineers, very analytical people, and many of you may dispute, man, I don't really think that I've got an imagination, you know. Well, if I'm to ask you to describe to me what your bedroom looks like, yeah, today, would you be able to do that? Of course you would. You tell, there's my bed, you know, there's my cupboards. If I ask you what your house looks like, or give me directions to your home, what do you see? You see the path to your home, right? You see it in your mind. If I have to ask you, what does your kitchen look like? You know, you come into our door, there's an open plan. You walk through the living room, which is part of the open plan. You walk into the kitchen. On your right-hand side, there's two fridges with a microwave. There's some cupboards at the top. Right next to it is a door that leads to the backyard. In front of us is the window with the sink cupboards at the bottom. They're all white. At the left-hand side, there's wall cupboards. The stove is there. The kettle and cupboards at the bottom as well. And we've got terracotta tiles. Do you have a picture? Of course you've got a picture, right? We create pictures with words. I can say elephant. What do you see? The letters E-L-E-P-H-A-N-T? No, you see an elephant. Some of you see a jumbo. Others of you see a Kruger National Park elephant, right? Now I can shape this picture. I can say, no, I want you to think about a pink elephant, right? Now, so now we eliminate the Kruger National Park elephants, right? They're not in our imagination any longer. Like I say, I want you to see a pink elephant with wings on it. I can shape a picture in your mind. Your most effective communicators are those who's got the ability to create a picture in the hearer's minds. The most effective, your best salespeople can create a picture in the recipient's mind. If you've got a picture, you will probably act on it. Most probably. So you do have an imagination. Now, what is an imagination? It's having the ability to see things that are not present in the natural. It's the ability to see things that are not present in the natural. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. My kitchen is not here, yet I described it to you. It's not present in the natural, but it exists. Right? And it seems like a lot of scholars agree that when we look at the Hebrew word imagination in the Old Testament, figuratively speaking, it means conception.
That's quite deep. Figuratively speaking, the word imagination in the Old Testament means conception. It means to conceive something. You see, my friends, it's in our imagination where conception takes place that flows out into our realities. I'm giving you a lot of meat here. A lot of things that we're going to talk about today, maybe a lot of those things will go over your head, and that is fine because it's too much information. Download the sermon and listen to this over and over again until God shows you the truth on this. My life has changed having discovered this amazing key. You see, what I continually, and this is the key word, continually, what I continually see on the inside, what I continually meditate on the inside, what is my continuous inner vision, will be conceived in my spiritual womb, and that will flow out into my reality. And if you want biblical proof, I can give that to you as well. Proverbs 23, verse 7. King James Version. Other versions have messed this up somehow. I don't know. King James Version, New King James Version. This is the correct translation of that specific passage. It says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Now I'm going to say something that will not bless some of you. But I'm not doing this to condemn you. I'm doing this to help you. Your immediate circumstances is directly correlated to the way that you could think continuously on the inside. That's rough, but it's true. That what you think, your immediate realities around you, there's a direct correlation between that and what you think about continuously on the inside. You see yourself as poor, you will be poor. You see yourself as sick, you will be sick. You see yourself as overcoming, you will overcome. You see yourself as a winner, you will win. Just so, by the way, I'm looking at winners here. Do you know by default you actually created to win? Out of how many hundreds of millions of sperm cells, you were the one that won. You're the one that won. You penetrated that egg. And you're sitting here. Praise God. That's amazing. You're a winner by default. You know what makes you not a winner? If you've experienced defeat the whole time? It's the way that you think. We need to sort this thing out. This mind, your imagination, can work for you or it can work against you. You choose. Jesus has come. He has done everything that we need to live in victory and in overcoming power. If we don't experience that, and if we don't live in that victory, and I'm not preaching at you, my friends, I'm preaching for myself here as well. If we not experience that, it's because our thinking is not in line with the Word of God. So your realities is determined by the way that you think. It's determined by your continuous inner vision. What do you meditate on? On the inside. What do you see on the inside on a consistent basis? When you meditate on positive biblical truth, then that's what you will see in your realities. If you meditate on negative emotions, negative imaginations continuously, that is what you will see in your reality. And we need to learn how to acknowledge my immediate reality, okay, I can see this. I don't like it. And now, what does the word say about my reality? And I need to start to take that word, and I need to see it. People say you need to see in the spirit. You know, I think sometimes we just sound very weird to the world out there. Because seeing in the spirit doesn't, what does that mean? In other words, you use your mind. You use your imagination. You need to start to see it. In your imagination, how the Word of God transform this reality of mine. And as you see it, you will start to see the results flowing through into your natural life. And I will qualify this a little bit later on in the sermon. You need to see how God's power transforms your realities. You need to see how big God is in comparison to your problems. We exalt problems instead of exalting God. That is our biggest problem here on earth. Let me show you a cool thing. This is not in the notes. Just thought about it. Now, I'm going to go to Ephesians 1. If you've got your Bible, you can turn there. Where is Ephesians? Just after Revelations. Okay, Ephesians 1. Just after Galatians. Ephesians 1, verse 20. Let's start at verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power? Talking about Jesus' power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. He's talking about Father God seating Jesus at his right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Many of us just read over that. It's just more words. Okay? Go to chapter 2 of Ephesians. Let's start at verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what the word is saying? Let's go back to chapter 1 again. Where is Jesus? At the right hand of God, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Where are we? Chapter 2, verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him. Where's Jesus? Right hand of the Father, far above. Word says we are with him in that seat, seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you see that? Can you see where you are seated? I am not seated here on earth. My spirit is seated with Jesus next to Father God, far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion. I do not have to fear because I sit on the seat of Christ in him. Can you see it? You won't just see it by listening to this. You need to go and meditate upon this. You need to go and see it in your inner man. This has taken me weeks to see this and to believe it and to live according to it. But I tell you, when I got that revelation, it changed my life forever. Because I started to understand who I am in Jesus. I started to understand my position of authority in Christ Jesus. What dominion I have. I can speak and mountains will move. Not because I'm all powerful, because I'm in Christ. Because I'm in Jesus. My friends, what do you see? I want to ask you, what do you see in your mind's eye? Man, I'm preaching myself happy here. Now, you can't use your imagination to come up with just whatever. Okay? This isn't... Now I can just think about whatever I want to think is going to happen. Because much of our imagination is influenced by cultural thinking. Much of our imagination is influenced by religious thinking. Just so, by the way, because we're in Shofar, doesn't mean we're religious. We don't have any religion in Shofar Church. I've seen many charismatic churches that's got a thick sugar coating around it called charisma, but the core of it is still religion. We need to evaluate ourselves continuously. Am I, conforming to the law, or am I conforming to Christ? Right? We've got to ask ourselves some tough questions sometimes. But our imagination is filled with religious thinking, with traditional thinking, with like I said, cultural thinking, ungodly thinking. Much of what we think about is not in line with the Word of God. So don't take what I'm saying as, you know, okay, so I can imagine now I can go and fly. You know, I'm like Neo of Matrix and fly, you know, jump off a building. I'm going to start flying because I can imagine that. Stupidity. All right? Don't do that. I promise you gravity will win. We need to learn how our imagination can be directed by the Word of God. How God's Word directs our mind, our imagination. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind. That word mind in Hebrew is yetzer. The word yetzer you can translate to imagination as well. The exact same word. So you can also read that verse as saying, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose imagination is stayed on you because he trusts in you." You know, many Christians believe that if I only read the Word, the power of God will become manifest in my life. Many Christians believe that if I just read the Word, then you know, I will get revelation. Now, don't get me wrong here. Reading the Word is extremely important. I read the Word a lot. But there comes a time when you need to close your Bible and you need to start to think about what you've read. You need to start to meditate on the Word of God. You get factual knowledge by just reading the Word. Some of you in Bible school will recognize that as Logos. The Logos Word of God. That Logos Word has got no power. Logos Word is just reading it. We need to move from factual knowledge to revelation knowledge, where that Word of God is revealed to us. That's what we call Rhema Word. And this is the Word that Jesus spoke about. Whenever he quoted Word, he quoted Rhema Word, not Logos Word. He quoted revealed Word, words that became a reality to him. And that's where the power of God lies. It's in the revealed Word of God. You know what? To get revelation of the Word of God, it takes time. It takes effort. We're in Joburg, right? We're the rat race of South Africa. We're in traffic the whole time, you know, got to do our 19 hours a day at work. You know, we've got tough schedules. Let me tell you, my friend, if you get revelation of the Word of God, if you take out an hour or two to meditate on the things of God, and you can do it anywhere. It doesn't have to be 4 o'clock in the morning. I meditate on the Word while I'm driving a lot. I do. Got to be clever as well. You know? Well, I also do it at home. Whenever I got a chance to do Bible study at home, I will meditate. I'll try and meditate on the Word of God. Think about it. What does this mean, Lord? What does this mean in my circumstances? How can this apply to this need I have? This miracle that I want? How can this apply? You need to think about it for the Word to become alive in your heart. And that Word that is alive will make the change. The Word of God also changes the picture that we have inside of us. All of us have got a picture about ourselves, about the world around us. You know, and there's a lot of factors that can play a role there on how you form that picture. It can be because of the way that you were brought up. It can be because of your imaginations. Because you're so continuously focused on one area, it's actually become a stronghold in your life. I'm going to touch on that in a minute. But the Word of God has got the power to change the picture that we have on the inside. And to let that picture be in line with the Word of God. But you've got to see it. You have to see it in your mind's eye. You have to see it on the inside so that conception can take place. so that that thing can be birthed what you are in need of. Many Christians ask to be prayed for if they're sick, for instance. They want someone else to pray for them, and that's fine. Don't have, you know, too much of a problem with that. But do you know that, before I just go on, God wants you to experience His power on your behalf in your individual capacity. If we continuously run to other people to pray for us so that we can see a miracle in our life, something's wrong. That is not natural. You know, you can give, a woman can get pregnant by surrogation, right? What do you call it? You can give a surrogate birth, right? You can do it, but it's not the norm. It's not normal. God has given everyone here the weaponry and the ability to see His continuous, miraculous influx in our lives on a daily basis. It's not that good to be so dependent on one anointed person's hands. He's going to lay His hands on me. That's not from God, I tell you now. God wants us to move to the place where we have the ability, and that is something that we just touch on in F4. Liberty. Still called liberty. Almost. Okay. Well, not almost, I mean, at the moment. Something that we touch on at liberty is how to walk in the victory and the power of God. But you know, many Christians, they come and they want someone to lay hands on them, to pray for the healing. The problem is that they still see themselves as sick. They see a coffin there. They see the coffin that they're going to be buried in while someone is praying for them to get healed. Instead of seeing how that sickness disappears. I've heard a story once of a lady. She was a pastor's wife. Poor woman. And I'm just kidding. And she had an accident with her eyes, and she couldn't see that well. She had glasses the size of apparently Coke bottle bottoms. You know, it was really thick glasses. A lot of people prayed for her. A lot of people prayed for her. And over the years, and nothing has ever happened. And this one time, another preacher came, and he was aware of her situation. And she just tried to avoid him because she didn't want to be prayed for again. And after the service, this preacher just hunted her down. She tried to escape. He wouldn't let her. He hunted her down and said, listen, I am going to pray for you. And she was resistant. And he said, just shut up. I'm going to pray for you. And he started to pray for her. And when he finished praying, he asked her, now, can you see? Because her glasses was off. And she started to open her eyes. And she says, and he says, no, no, shut your eyes. She's like, whoa, okay. And she shuts her eyes. And he asks her again, now, can you see? And she opens her eyes again. Her eyes again. And he says, I didn't tell you to open your eyes. Shut your eyes. And this happens a third time. By this time, she's getting frustrated. And he says, I'm not asking whether you can see with your physical eyes. I'm asking, can you see with your mind's eye? In your imagination? For the first time, she got it. And she closed her eyes. She started to pray in tongues. A couple of minutes, I don't know how long. And then she said, while her eyes were closed, I can see. I can see myself seeing. She opened her eyes and she was completely healed. Happened in America a couple of years ago. The power of our imagination, my friends, is tremendous. And too many people are downplaying it. So many people see themselves, Christians, see themselves as the tail and not the head. They see themselves as the tail and not the head. They see themselves as the one that's always getting the bad deal. They're blaming God for it. Your mind is not in line with the Word of God. Whatever you think on continuously, that's what will happen in your life. You see, we need to start seeing, if you're sick, how Jesus lays His hands on you. how Jesus smears his blood over you. He says, you are healed in my name. We need to start to see how we raise people from the dead. How many of you think about that continuously? See how I raise people from the dead. See how I lay my hands on the sick and they get healed. See how I can move in the gifts of the Spirit at my workplace. See how people get saved in my family. See how people get saved at work. Seeing it in my imagination. Seeing it in my mind's eye. We don't do that, do we? Because life's too busy. You need to see yourself in the Bible. When Jesus shouts to Lazarus, rise up. You need to see yourself standing there, shouting to Lazarus, rise up. See how he raises from the dead. See how you lay your hands on a person who's demon-possessed and the demons go. Some of you sit here and you fear demons. I don't understand why. You know, working with a demon is like working with a three-year-old. You tell them what to do. You don't ask them. You need to see it. What do you see? When you go through the Word of God, do you see yourself in the Word of God? Many Christians quote Philippians 4:19 that says, but my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yet so many Christians don't experience the faithful sowers, but they don't experience the reaping, the harvest. What do you call it? Harvest, reaping, something like that, no? I think that comes back to you. They don't experience it. You know why? Two reasons, I believe. One is having not sown in love. That's the first law. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3 says, if you give and you don't give it in love, it profits you nothing. I've wasted my tithe for a couple of years. You know why? Because I didn't sow in love. Didn't sow in love. I sowed out of obligation, guilt, condemnation. If I don't do that, God's going to withhold his blessing from me. I did it for all the wrong reasons. Profited me nothing. Praise Jesus, I found out that's not the way that you do it. Right? The other reason, I think, why people don't experience the abundance of God is, though they may sow in love, they don't see the abundance. They don't see the abundance. So many Christians are happy with just the scrapes on the floor. Well, not really happy, but, you know, I force myself to be happy with the scrapes on the floor. They forget that they're a child of the King. They forget that they are seated in heavenly places. Your God is not El Cheapo, your God is El Shaddai. He is El Shaddai. He's not El Cheapo, he doesn't eat with a wooden spoon. He's got gold and silver in his mansions everywhere. He owns the gold and silver in the whole world. Right? God says he will take from the wicked, he will give to the righteous. If you're not experiencing that, it's because you're thinking incorrectly. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's a tough word, but if you embrace it, I'm telling you, you're going to start to see results like never before. Stop thinking poorly. Stop thinking poorly. If you can't see it on the inside, you won't see it on the outside. Because it's on the inside that conception takes place. Genesis 6 verse 5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That word imagination there is the same word as mind in Isaiah 26 verse 3, which is the word yetzer. Again, this time it's just directly translated as imagination. Now it's interesting to see that it's interesting to see that the word imagination in the Bible, except for one area, is always referred to in a negative context. It's interesting. It's talking about the wicked imaginations of people. You'll find it wherever the word talks about the word yetzer, it's in a negative scenario. There's only one positive, and that was when David and the nation of Israel took up an offering for God. The offering in current rand, dollar value was, I think it was just over $5.2 billion worth of offering. If you equate the gold and silver prices to today, that's a pretty big offering. We can plant a few churches with that. And there, David prayed a prayer and imagination was uttered in a positive way. But the rest of the Word of God, we see imagination in a negative context. And the reason is that most people's imagination, their meditation of the heart, is wicked. Is not in line with the Word of God. These things that we see are happening on SABC, these atrocities of children being raped, people being killed, you know where that originates from? It's from the heart. What people meditated upon for weeks, months, years, it gets conceived and it flows out into reality. Many Christians don't honor God by the way they think, because all they think about is failure. They think about how they're going to fail if they try and do something. They think about anger. They meditate on anger. Someone made them angry, and they see themselves for weeks how they are angry at a specific person. Bitterness. They meditate on bitterness. Someone has done something, you know, against me, and I didn't like that, and now my heart is becoming bitter as I meditate on this week after week after week after month after month after month. Until you've developed such a strong stronghold in your heart that it's very difficult to break that thing. People meditate on, like I mentioned earlier, being poor, on rejection, on death. Some of you are sitting here, and there's something in your heart against a brother and sister in this church. Someone didn't look at you the way that you wanted to be looked at. Someone said something to you that, you know, didn't fly your kite. You need to deal with that. You need to stop meditating on that person as being the enemy. Ephesians 6 says that our war is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers of the air. You're giving that principality and power a great big fat door into your life. If you keep on meditating on how this person mistreated you. You need to get over it. We need to grow up, guys. That's the short of it. We need to grow up. And we need to direct our minds in line with the Word of God. One Chronicles 28 verse 9 shows that God knows about our imaginations. He sees our imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 to 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Your biggest battle with the devil is not external. Your biggest battle with the devil is internal. The devil will attack this thing continuously. And if you don't use the weaponry, look what Paul is saying. He's saying that those weapons are made to pull down strongholds, to pull down imaginations that exalt itself against God. My friend, it is very possible to control your thoughts. It is very possible to make Jesus your continuous focus at all times. It's an obtainable goal. Right? I don't care in what circumstances you work. I don't care what you have to face every day. No one can control your mind but you. You control it. The problem is if we give ourselves over to a negative imagination continuously, that forms a stronghold in our lives. And that stronghold will dictate the decisions that we make. And that continuous decision-making process that is not in line with the Word of God, in other words, is incorrect decision-making, will at the end of the day determine your destiny. You will probably not fulfill what God has called you to do here on earth. Because you allow the stronghold to dominate your decision-making. Just so, by the way, you get a negative stronghold and a positive stronghold. Positive stronghold is a stronghold that's in line with the Word of God continuously. I like that stronghold. That's the one that I want. In other words, making decisions that's in line with the Word of God, no matter what my circumstances show me. Seeing with my mind's eye that what my natural circumstances does not show me right now. If you see it, it will happen. Something that, just on a personal note, maybe something I think about now, is for a long time, I would get bombarded with a thought of Lorraine and Noah dying. Car crash. Someone breaks in at home or whatever, you know. I would get bombarded with that. And there was a time when I started to meditate on that. I was starting to see how I would stand next to their coffins. What my life would be like. And I needed to get myself awake again. Saying, what the heck are you doing, boy? This is not in line with the Word of God. Renew your mind. I will not allow this kind of meditation inside of myself. I will not allow a meditation that my business is going to fail inside of myself. I will never see failure in my mind. I will see success at all times. I will see how God sends clients to a business. I will see how God opens the doors. And I will stand on the Word of God. What do you see in your workplace? Do you see as the guy that's always going to be overlooked for the promotion? The guy that will never come to the answers, is too difficult for you? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Everything. But you need to believe it. You need to see it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I can assure you that the enemy will always try and manipulate you or deceive you into thinking that it is okay to dwell on negative imaginations. He will try and do that. And if you allow it, you're going to suffer for it. Don't allow him to create a negative stronghold in your mind. If you're born again, you've got the weapons. You can control your thoughts. Control it. Control it. Which is in line with the Word of God. Okay. Now, let's just look again at the definition of imagination. The definition there is the ability to see something in my mind, in what we call our mind's eye, or in the spirit, some would say. The ability to see something that is not present. Okay? The ability to see something that is not present. Now I want to move over to the positive sign of imagination. And did you know that the Bible calls that hope? That's called hope in the Word of God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, I hear a lot of sermons. Oh, that's brilliant, King James. Charity. You know, charity is love, so by the way. Now, I hear a lot of sermons on love. I hear a lot of sermons on faith. How many sermons do we hear on hope? Not much. Yet it's part of the big three. Right? We don't hear a lot about hope. Now, I don't believe that anything in the Bible is by chance. If I look at the order, I see faith, hope, love. Love is the biggest. If I look at order, I may be wrong, but if I look at order, what's right next to love? Hope. seems like hope is the second most important thing that we need to focus on. Right? Now, let's look at hope definition-wise. What does the Bible say about hope? We need to turn to Romans 8, verse 24 to 25. And it says the following. For in this hope we were saved. I'm reading from the ESV here. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Do you guys see what I'm seeing? You don't see hope with your natural eyes. You see it with your mind's eye. You see it with your imagination. The Word of God calls positive imagination hope. Hope is a vital component in Christian living. If we don't have hope, you can never expect to overcome. Ever. You need to have hope. And in order for hope to be sustainable, in order for hope to be strong, I need to have a revealed knowledge of the Word of God. I need to meditate on this Word. I need to see this Word in action in my life. I need to see how my circumstances are transformed by the truths of the Word of God in my life. And you will have hope. You will see something that you can hold on to. And that, my friend, is your spiritual womb. That's where conception will take place. In the spirit. Revealed knowledge is also known as dianoia. I'm not going to go into all the verses there. But you see this, Ephesians 4:18, Luke 1:51. There's 11 other references of dianoia in the New Testament. Dianoia means deep thought, deep understanding. In other words, something that you've meditated upon. You've taken this word, you've meditated upon it, and you've seen it in your mind's eye. Like I said earlier, that does take time. It does take effort. But it's worth every minute where you meditate on the Word of God. And again, my friends, you need to start to see how your circumstances change at the workplace. You need to start to, some of you, your hope has died for something. You've got a desire for something and you've given up hope on that. God wants to revive that again. But he wants you to see it. What happened to Abram? God has given him a picture, a hope. He took that hope and said, this thing, I can't see the natural now. I'm being promised generations, multitudes like the sea of the sand, the sand of the sea. But he didn't see it. He was 90 years old, 70 years old when he got the promise. He was an old bully. It was a bit difficult with Sarah to conceive at that age. Right? But he saw it and he believed it. For how long? 20 years. If you've got a picture, if God distills something in your mind, something that you see, you need to keep on believing until it comes to pass. And it will. You need to start to see how God prospers your business. You need to start to see how salvation happens in your family. Do you see your brother and your sister who is currently full of drugs? Can you see them on their knees? Hands raised to God and say, God, I will worship you and no one else. Can you see it? Can you see how your mother and father that is bound in religion will be, that religious bondage will be broken over their lives and they will be free in God? Can you see it? Can you see how you lay your hands on the sick and they do get healed? Can you see it? Can you see how you go to the dead, you pray over them, as you pick that person up, that person comes to life? Can you see it? Can you see that you will not fail, but you will succeed? Can you see that you will not be the tail, but you will be the head? Can you see it? Because if you can't, it won't happen. Matthew 13, verse 19. It's a parable of the seeds that were sown next to the road. We know the story. One of the seeds, Jesus says, when anyone has hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what he has, what has been sown in his word, in his heart. That word understand, if anyone hears the word of the kingdom of God and does not understand it, that word understand is sunimi in Greek. It means to consider. In other words, if someone hears the word of the kingdom and does not sunimi it, does not consider it, in other words, does not meditate on it, doesn't see it, what happens? The devil comes and he snatches that away. That word will have no effect in your life. Then it's a factual knowledge. It's a logos word. It's not a rhema word, a revelational knowledge. You see, this seed that Jesus is talking about here, this seed must fall in the soil and it must germinate. If it's factual knowledge, if it's logos knowledge, it won't germinate. It will just die. It will be snatched away. Now, all of a sudden, Hebrews 11 verses 1 and 2 also makes a lot more sense. Hebrews 11 is a chapter on faith. And everyone focuses on the faith. What most people miss is that you cannot have faith without hope. Without hope. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen in the natural. It's talking about not seen in the natural. For by it the people of old received their commendation. Just so, by the way, we just skip over verse 2 so quickly, not thinking about that. Just before I go on. You know, sometimes, honestly, it takes me weeks to go through one chapter of the Word because of the way that I think about it. Some of you might think, but that's a waste of time. I tell you, it changes my life. It changes my life. Sometimes I get frustrated because I just want to move on to the next chapter, but there's just too much the Holy Spirit is showing me here. I write pages and pages and pages and pages of what the Holy Spirit is showing me on one verse. It's awesome. I love it. Takes a bit of time. I don't think I'll get through the whole Bible at this rate, you know, before I die. God will need to make me like 300 years or something. But I love it. We skip over verse 2. Just think about that. For by it the people of old received their commendation. He's talking about the patriarchs. He's talking about the people like Abram, Moses, Joseph, Jacob, all the old guys, right? They understood this. They understood that I need to hope. I need to see it first in the spirit realm. I need to see it with my imagination. And then I will exercise my faith towards that, and every single one of them got amazing results. Amazing results. Promises got fulfilled. Miracles happened. So many Christians today only focus on the faith part. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to stand in faith for something. And with most Christians, it doesn't happen. That faith doesn't come to fruition. You know why? Because there's no hope. The hope has been not even destroyed. There's just nothing that is seen. I'm just hoping for God, you know, for a promotion. But you don't see that actually happening. I'm just hoping that, you know, God will heal me. But you don't see the healing manifest in your mind's eye. We need to see it, guys. We need to see it. You know, we've got electricity in our homes. And I'm very close to finishing off. We've got, Erki, that's your cue, wherever you are. We've got electricity in our homes, in the walls, with the pipes. We've got it in the, you know, in our ceilings for the lights to come on. Electricity is the power. It's the current. It's the power. But that power means nothing without the switch. You need to flip the switch in order for that power to become manifest, to see the lights going on in your house. Faith is electricity. Hope is the switch. If you've got hope, it will switch that thing on. It will come to pass. 1 Peter 1 verse 23. With this, I'm closing off. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. I'll read that again. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Here, the Holy Spirit is linking the word of God with seed, right? And we see this, you know, throughout the Bible, where the word of God is being linked with seed. For a woman to conceive, you need to sow a seed in the womb. If a woman wants to conceive, and she just goes and stands right next to a man, looking at him, you're not going to conceive like that. There needs to be a little bit more relationship there, right? A seed needs to be sown into the womb. In the same way, my friend, if you've got a need, you need a miracle, it doesn't help. I think Singer's saying, you know, somewhere in the Bible, it talks about by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I'm in need of healing, for instance. By Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I'm not sure exactly where that stands. I think it's the book of Moses, maybe. Can't remember. Oh, is there a book of Moses? Probably not. But, you know, somewhere in the Bible, it says something like that. That is not having a relationship with the Word of God. There needs to be a bit more interaction with the Word of God for that thing to germinate, for that seed to take effect in your life. If you want a miracle to happen, conception needs to take place in the spiritual realm. If you've got a need, find out what the Word of God has to say about that need. Find out. The Word of God applies to every single aspect of our lives. Find out what the Word has to say about that need. Because the Word of God is a seed. Then you take that seed and you plant it. You plant it into your spiritual womb. You start to see it. You focus on hope. You start to see it in your inner man. And you keep on planting that seed until you see it. Don't give up. You keep on planting that seed until you see it. And until you see how your need is being transformed by the Word of God. That's when your spiritual womb is ripe, ready for conception. When you see how that need is transformed by the Word of God. You can see it in your mind's eye. You can see the provision. You can see the healing. You can see the salvation coming. You can see the expansion of business. You can see whatever. And then, my friend, that seed will germinate. That's when that seed will germinate. And then it's just a matter of time until you see the birth. Just a matter of time. In that time, you need to keep on believing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You still need to keep on believing. And you will see the results that you have wished for. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the power of it. And I thank you, Lord, that in you, there's always hope. Because you are all powerful. We come, Lord God, and we repent of where we have not given you glory, nor have been thankful towards you, and have allowed vain imaginations to rise up in our hearts. Where we have allowed negative imaginations to control our thoughts and our decision making. We We say today we repent, we turn to you, and we say thank you, Lord, that you are a good God. Thank you, Lord, that we know for you nothing is impossible. And we choose to focus on you. We repent, Lord God, of looking at the mountain instead of looking at our God. We look down on that mountain because we are in Christ Jesus in heavenly places right now. Thank you that we in Christ are far above all rule, authority, dominion, and power. That with God, nothing is impossible. And I pray, Lord God, that you will help us to align our minds with your word. I thank you, Lord, that you help us to see your word in action in our lives. Whether we need healing, breakthroughs, whatever we need, Lord God, that you give us the ability to see it. That you have already given us the ability to see it. I pray that we will just exercise that ability, Lord God, for your glory. For your glory. I pray for revealed knowledge in this place, Lord God. I pray for hearts and minds that are committed to see the action of your word in our lives. How your word becomes manifest in our lives. We will not be satisfied with logos, Lord God, with factual knowledge. We are only satisfied with revealed knowledge. Because in it lies the power of God. We turn our eyes to you. We turn our hearts to you. We turn our minds to you. You say, Jesus, first and most important commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your heart. We choose to do that. Not to dwell, Lord God, on those things that does not give you glory, but to dwell on those things that do give you glory. Where we put our faith in you. In that what we cannot see, but what we know is true. Cannot see in our natural, but we can see it in our mind's eye. We praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name.